You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
My name is Chad, pastor here on staff, and we are in our third week of missions a month. And today, Pastor Andrew will be up here in just a second. But before I bring up my guest, I want to mention two things really quickly. Okay, the first one is this pledge card. If you guys look in your seat backs before you, can you guys go ahead and just grab one of those and put it in your hand, put it in your physical hand? And I want to say this. During this year, during this series that we've been in, it's called Unseen. And one thing that I'm familiar with is that out of sight, out of mind, right? Is anybody else familiar with that? Like when things are just not in front of me, I forget about them or they just feel distant. And I just want to let you know that these cards right here that Pastor Andrew is going to talk about and we're going to pray about at the end of this service, these represent those who we support. These represent those who are on the mission field. These represent widows being fed, orphans being fed, the gospel being preached, the church being built in our global and local arenas. And so it's sometimes out of sight, out of mind. And so sometimes it's better to have a little skin in the game. And I just want you guys to hold on to these because I truly do believe that God is calling us to the world. And this is a great way to participate in it. It's not the only way, but it is one of the ways. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more. And lastly, we worked really hard about putting these calendars together. Who's gotten a calendar already? Okay, everybody that's not raising your hand, grab a calendar today, okay? And the same thing, out of sight, out of mind. These, every single month, and I would go through them right here, but I want to have more time with our guests. But every month, there's a missionary on there, and it has their prayer points. And it allows us to, one, it's practical, right? It's a calendar, but also it's able to see, okay, this month I'm going to pray for the Actons. This month I'm going to pray for the Tamayos. This is a way of putting in front of us so we're not forgetful about it. So please, they're beautiful too. And so grab one of these today as you leave. Okay? Sweet. Next part, which is my favorite part. Come on up and join me. TJ and Katrina Tamayo are here. And they're friends of the house. TJ was on staff with us about 6 years ago for, what, 4 years? 4 or 5 years? 4 years? 3?
Yeah, about 4 years.
Yeah, something like that, huh? Time, what is it? It's irrelative, right? they have been such an awesome couple, and they went on the mission field 5, 6 years ago, and they started off just going to Asia. God gave TJ a unique vision about reaching out to skate communities, right? What a weird thing to have a vision about, especially in Asia. and he'll talk a little bit more about that, but they have a unique calling on their lives, and they're just so dynamic in who they are together. They're from this area, and we just love them so much. And so, Tamayos, thank you guys for being here. I know you're back getting refreshed. And with that said, hello.
Hello.
Hey, Koinonia, we missed you guys.
We sure did.
So I just want to start off, TJ, for those who don't know you guys as well, could you kind of give us a background of like what God spoke to you and why you guys are in Asia, why you guys are in, you know, preaching to or ministering to who you're ministering to?
Yeah. Well, real quick before I say that, thank you, Koinonia, for being there for us. Through the 6 years that we've been gone, like this house has helped sustain us in doing what God has called us to. So thank you, Pastor Andrew, for taking time to meet with us, for everybody on staff to stand with us during the past season, and everyone else in here who has supported us to do the things that God has called us to do. I've been skateboarding for 21 years before I was a believer. And skateboarding taught me patience, perseverance, community, all these things, but it wasn't like biblical principles. So when I got saved, I started seeing all of these things becoming relevant in my life that I learned at the skate park. And I started writing these things down. And so I wrote like a small little, what I was hoping to be some like devotional. And Chad even helped out with it a little bit. And then I got
in. All his spelling mistakes.
He wrote the one about a poser.
it is true, though.
And then what we did was I got invited to go on a missions trip to China, and I was asked to bring my skateboard. Well, I brought my skateboard, and on the way out, I brought that devotional. That devotional since then got translated while I was there, and then I did a follow-up trip 2 years later, saw that this little tiny 6-day devotional was being used to do like small group stuff. That's when God started putting it on our heart to relocate. And I had to come and tell my wife, hey, God's doing something here. We need to be obedient to this thing. And then, you know, through that, we relocated to China. And that's when the big picture of what God started showing me and how there's a massive need for Christ-centered skate community. It's really, really unengaged, not just in China, Taiwan, but just throughout all Asia. And that God is calling us to reach, develop, and release skateboarders to go and do that.
Yeah, so Katrina, could you reenact how you reacted when he told you? I'm just kidding.
I just said, no, we're not doing that.
You're not doing that. So Katrina, just give us a little part of, or a little insight into kind of your role and how you're in the mix of all this. And yeah.
If there's anybody out there that thinks skateboard ministry is a little silly, I'm with you. I was not a believer of it at first, and God broke my heart for it over time, and I really started to see the need for it in those communities. And my husband was so happy when God gave me those revelations. And so I partner with him in all things that. We've hosted teams. I mean, one of our bigger parts of our ministry was hosting teams and using that to disciple the people that we were hosting, but also to help use them to help us to evangelize as well. Because as he said, our slogan was to reach, develop, and then release. And so to reach new skateboarders, we used already current skateboarders who are loving God, but still we're walking with them very newly. We use them to develop them, to help us to reach them. And then after our time with them, we would release them into their communities back to where they were from to continue to be that light. And so God has really used us in those ways to do those kinds of things. I think for me, though, also along the journey, has just really been just to be useful for what God's doing locally, wherever we're at. And also being a bridge to the church and creating a really healthy relationship with the churches God has led us to be a part of. And so I'm on the PowerPoint team over there, and we have two churches we work with in Taiwan, and some of them, they do outreach stuff, and then the other church we work with, we're there more regularly on Sunday, but my heart is mostly just to really just connect with the church. We run small group, a bilingual small group as well there, and ultimately just have a really good relationship with them, and to really just serve the local need, whatever it is. Sometimes it's handing out food. Sometimes it's hiking up a mountain for 2 hours to get to remote villages with no electricity. Sometimes it's just serving underprivileged kids at a camp and preaching the gospel and loving on them that way. There's been so many opportunities we've been able to be a part of, even outside of skateboard ministry, that has really just been eye-opening and a blessing to do. And so really just to be a part of what God is doing over there anytime there's an opportunity, and to connect with the local church and have a really great relationship with them.
Yeah, as you guys can tell, their excuse has been skating to go over there and to preach the gospel. But this team, this couple works so well together, pouring into people and pouring into that community. And the great thing is, like Katrina is saying, they're pulling them back into the church. They understand that the manifestation, the local church, right, is so important for believers to come together. So they go out, minister, they come back and bring people into the church. And that's so powerful to do. And they've been all over the place. And I believe Asia, right, has the fastest growing underground church, right, because there's so much persecution on the church. And they're a part of this. They're a part of building this church and bringing people in. Really quick, give us kind of a challenge that you guys have faced. I know COVID is a big challenge. And what have you been doing in that time?
COVID forced us to pivot. Borders closed for Taiwan in late February, early March last year. That put our visa in like a challenging situation. And I think the hardest part through last March to present was trusting God in the process. Because there was a lot of things that God was asking us to do, and we would go to quiet time and we would feel like we would like get like our next steps, but on the outside, it looked completely impossible. There were so many times where I had conversations with Chad, other missionaries, other friends, and it was just like, and I would tell them what God is putting on our hearts, and they were like, yeah, Good luck with that. They'd say, I heard multiple times, hey, it looks like the door is closing. I said, well, just stand with me and let's find out if this door is going to close together or if it's going to open up together. And they stood with us. And through that process of just seeing what God was going to do, like that's when God put on our heart to just start a skate company. So when we were challenged with the thought of going home, where we questioned our calling, we questioned what God was doing, we questioned our work, we questioned our fruit, we questioned God in that season. And God showed himself as faithful even in the process. And when he started showing, and when we started asking ourselves the hard questions, our mentors the hard questions, and when we started talking about these hard things, that's when God started opening the door, and that's when God started getting clarity. And through that, he gave us the next step, which was to start a skate company, and that skate company will position us and give us legitimacy in the scene that we've already been working in, so that now we have a reason to be here, because it's like, oh, why are you here? Why are you with the skateboarders? You don't just want to be like, hey, dude, you're sinning. I want to tell you about Jesus. You just want to you want to be positioned and have a reason to be there, which gives us a platform to speak into their lives.
And this team is amazing. Hey, I want to encourage you guys. There's a lot more to this story. Go follow them. If you go to the Casey Hanford /outreach, the outreach page on our website, you could follow them. They do a newsletter, monthly, and they're telling about all the things they're doing. They're actually in the process of starting a skate ministry business in Taiwan that is just going to open up so many doors. So please go find out more about that. I wish we had all the time to share with them. But I wanted to get to this, and we didn't get to especially that last part. We went over a little bit of what we were going to say today, but I didn't hear the last part of what TJ is going to share. And you guys mind if we pray for you and I prophesy over you guys a little bit?
Yes, please. Yes. Sure.
Yeah, so during worship today, I saw two things. I saw a container and I saw a waterfall. And so I saw you guys actually standing inside of a container, and it was kind of a look of frustration. And then I saw a waterfall coming. And right over the container, and the waterfall started to pour into this. And as it filled up, the things that were heavy for you guys started to float. And I felt like God is saying this. He's put you in the right places at the right time to not be frustrated, that God's presence is coming in a new way. And those things that are happening around you has happened for a reason, and God is using him to lift the burden of ministry off of you. Okay, so let's just extend their hand. Let's extend our hands as if we're praying. You guys have your hands on their shoulders just like I do. And so, Father, we thank you so much for the tamayos. And, Father, we pray, Father, just we pray that waterfall in. Even as they're here right now, God, would your spirit begin to be unleashed, Father, and pour out in a new way upon them, God, that the things that they're concerned about, the worries and all the frustrations that come with being a cross-cultural minister, God, would it begin to be lifted off of their shoulders, God, and that there would be a new lightness, God, to what you are doing. I pray, Father, that you would solidify in their mind the calling that you have put on their life, God. I pray, God, against any type of attacks from the enemy that would try to diminish that and try to push that away, Father. Remind them of who they are, God. Remind them of what you're doing and fill their cup to overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Love you guys. All right, Andrew, it's your turn.
Thanks, Chad, for that great introduction. Good morning. Man, what a wonderful morning so far this morning. Has it just been such a sweet sense of God's presence in the house? What an honor it is to have TJ and Katrina in the house. Love you guys. So good to see you guys. God is at work. I just want to tell you, God is at work. He's doing something. He's not finished with what he's doing. I don't know what you felt today, if you felt anything, if you didn't feel anything. I want to tell you, God's still working. He's got an appointment with you. He's got an appointment with your family. He's got an appointment with your kids. And he's doing something, and what we have to do is actually get in a position so that we can receive what he's doing, so that we don't miss it. So let's just continue to reach out for him, because as we do that, he's going to honor that, and I want to tell you, he's ready to pour out, just as Chad prophesied to these two about the waterfall. It's time to get under the waterfall. All right, it's time for us to position ourselves under the waterfall, and the Lord's going to do something powerful inside of us. Let's see. I want to remind you, we're going to conclude in a few minutes our series on missions and Missions Month called Unseen. But I want to make sure that I remind you and invite you to Donna Howard's memorial service. That's going to be this Saturday at 10:30 right here. And of course, almost everyone in the house would know it, but if you're visiting today or you're not familiar with Donna Howard, Donna and her husband, Tim, were the lead pastors of this church for 15 years. And she went to be with the Lord just about a week and a half ago, or two, I guess maybe 2 weeks ago exactly. And so I just want to invite you to be a part of that service. If you're a part of Koinonia, try to be here to be in support and honor of Donna and her life and support Pastor Tim on Saturday at 10:30 here in the house. All right. Are you ready? Because we're going to move fast. We're going to do some things here in the next few minutes that are important, but we're going to do them quickly. And I'm just trusting that the Lord's going to He's already done a work in our hearts. But I need you to just not fall asleep for the next few minutes. Okay, don't get distracted. Stick with me. I'm asking for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes worth of your attention. So don't let your mind wander, okay? Just a few minutes ago, somebody tried to call me from Germany more than once. Turn your phone off, okay? In other words, don't get distracted. Don't let anybody call you, text you, whatever. Okay. Grab, if you would, your sermon notes maybe. You got, hopefully, there's some blank pieces of paper in the seats in front of you. You want to take some notes, I'm going to give you a couple of things you can write down. Grab this, which in the other hand, grab this, hold this. I tell you what, I challenge you to hold this missions pledge card the whole time. Whether or not you're going to actually fill it out, that's not the question. What we're going to do over the next few minutes is we're just going to ask the Lord, and as a symbol of how we are to carry the Great Commission, we are to carry the responsibility for being engaged in the world. I just want you to hold on to this just for the next few minutes. Don't stick it somewhere else. Just as a reminder, okay, yeah, my responsibility as a follower of Jesus is to carry the commission that he has given to me, which is to be involved in his kingdom and to go into all the world and to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all the nations. That's part of what we're doing. So let this be a reminder for the next few minutes of this. Now, the series that we've been in is called Unseen, and Pastor Chad, our missions pastor, set the course for us. What a wonderful series. We've been talking about how there are, number first of all, there's an unseen place where we have to go if we want to actually see what God has for us. We have to go to the secret place. We have to go to the unseen place. How there are in the world unseen people, that if we're not careful, if we don't keep our eyes open, if we're not being aware and in tune with the Lord, we will miss people that God wants us to see. And right now I want to talk for the next few minutes about the unseen kingdom that we're a part of, because I want to tell you that we are a people of the invisible world. Right? We don't just exist in the material world. We are not just this kind of physical people. We are a supernatural people. We are a people that exist in the spirit as much as we exist in the physical. And as a matter of fact, the spirit is more real, because when we die, we will be in heaven with God, who is spirit, and we're going to spend the rest of time in eternity with him. So if we're not careful, though, we live in a culture that is so obsessed with the physical, is so obsessed with what we can see with our natural eyes, that we will miss the unseen. And we have to remember, we are a people of the unseen. Now, the theme for this series we've been carrying out of 2 Corinthians, see, I almost set this down. I'm not going to set it down, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18 says this. This is Chad set our course with these verses. So we do not lose heart. Anybody tempted to lose heart every once in a while? The last 15, 18 months, we've been tempted to lose heart maybe a little bit. We've been through some things. If you've been through some things, you've been tempted to lose heart. So Paul says, listen, don't lose heart. Even though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. See, because there's an inner work that's happening that's actually more important than the outer work. There's something that's going on that's more important than what's happening in our circumstances. You heard that this morning. Several of the ladies got up here and they said, hey, listen, the circumstances shouldn't define you. What's going on shouldn't define you. It shouldn't crush you. Why? Because what's going on inside is truly what's the most important. And Paul says, listen, your inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction, sometimes it doesn't feel light and momentary. Yeah. right? I mean, sometimes the things you're going through do not feel like, oh, yeah, this is just going to last for a few seconds. Sometimes the season lasts for a long time, and it seems like the weight of what's going on just goes on and on and on. But in the perspective of eternity, Paul says, it is light and it is momentary. And it's preparing us, he says, for an eternal weight of glory. See, going through what we're going through, posturing ourselves in the right way, remembering and cooperating with the Holy Spirit so that his work is happening inside of us, that means there's something on the other side that's actually happening, right? There's something actually more than just gritting your teeth, I'm going to get through, that there's actually an eternal weight of glory. Something is being built up in heaven for us, an eternal reward that is beyond all comparison. Verse 18, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Because we have to see what is unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they're temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We are people of the unseen. We walk by faith, not by sight. We remember we belong to a kingdom that we cannot see with our physical eyes. The kingdom that we belong to is critical that we understand the nature of the kingdom and how we are a part of it and the signs of the kingdom so that we can cooperate with the kingdom. But we are called as the people of God to actually be invested in bringing his kingdom into the earth. We're part of this project. Jesus told his disciples when they asked him how to pray, what did he say? Well, he said, pray in this way, your kingdom come, your will be done. In other words, God, would you bring your kingdom into this place? The invisible kingdom that exists in heaven, wherever you are, Lord, there in heaven, when you say something, it goes the way that you say it, right? Where the Father is in heaven, his will is done. So now we are participants in this project of saying, now, Lord, would you bring your kingdom to bear here in this place, in my heart, in my community, and in my world? Luke chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus speaks to the crowd about the nature of the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God so frequently, so many times. So many of his parables and stories were about the kingdom of God. And this is what he says in chapter 17 of Luke. In verse 20, he says, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, the Pharisees are saying, hey, when is it going to happen? Where is the kingdom of God? Now, they're thinking, in their mind, the kingdom of God is when the Jewish people who are ruled by God become the rulers of the world, right? And the Romans are overturned. We have to place in history, right? This is the Roman rulers are over the nation of Israel. There are people basically under occupation. And there, for them, in the Jewish mind in this day, they're waiting for a time when politics is overturned and the right governor ruler goes on the throne and then things turn out. They were looking for a physical kingdom, that the Romans would be thrown out and that things would be set right and justice would prevail the way that it's supposed to prevail. So they're saying, when's that going to happen, Jesus? They're saying, you know, kind of sarcastically as they would, you're so smart, would you tell us when this is going to happen? Jesus replies to them, and this is important for us, because don't we get stuck in that same mentality sometimes? Lord, would you finally just come and fix this political situation? Would you finally come and fix all these social structures? Would you finally come and do this thing? And this is what Jesus says. The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God, he says, is in your midst. It's in your midst. In other words, it's invisible. It's right here. It's all around you. It's inside of you. We can see evidence of it, but it's not like you can point right at it. It's not like you say, this is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, I want you to know, if, for example, is not owned by the church. The kingdom of God is not right here, right now, in this room. I mean, yes, it is, but no, it's not. When I point at Koinonia, that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in the church and through the church. The church is the delivery system of the kingdom of God. The church is the container of the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is actually the content that we deliver. When people come in and we say, there is hope for you, there is a future for you, there is life for you, you've got a second chance, God loves you and he wants you to come and he wants to change your future and the future of your kids, come and meet Jesus, that's where the kingdom of God is, right? It's the content there of salvation, of life, of newness. The church is the vehicle, the kingdom is the fuel. The church has the people of God inside of it. It's not the destination. The church is not the destination. I mean, I love the church. I want people to come to church. I hope everybody comes to church, right? But ultimately, it's not the destination. It's a place of facilitation so that the kingdom can be released into all the world. And so you and I have to remember that we're part of the kingdom of God, which is a sphere that's invisible. And our part to play in this is to continue to align ourselves with his kingdom so that it continually comes into this place, into this heart, into this world, so that then as the internal work happens of the kingdom, the external work can happen. So because when your internals change, haven't you noticed, then your externals begin to change. When your internals, I remember a story of a woman who went home after church, and suddenly she noticed that week her husband was different. Now, they'd been going to church for years and years and years. It was, I mean, this was church. Every Sunday morning they would go to church. And that week, it was like he just, something changed. He was like nice. And it wasn't like, you know, I mean, it wasn't like this major thing. It wasn't like he was a terrible person before. It was just like something was coming outside, was flowing out of his mouth that was different than what had previously happened. And she said, "What's going on? What's different about you?" And he said, "Well, I made a decision to receive Christ today." I mean, they had been in church for years. I mean, in every way, it would be like he would be a Christian. That's what, and culturally, he was a Christian. But you see, something happened internally. Nobody knew that he'd raised his hand, right? He wasn't actually even trying. He wasn't trying to be different. He didn't say, there was something that happened internally that resulted in an outflow that was transformative. Now, that's the kingdom of God. So when we look at changes on the external, they are evidences of what's going on internally. If we just try to do the external thing and fix the outside and we never address the inside, then we have missed the point. This is why as a church, we're not engaged in the political process trying to fix all the outside. What we're most, I'm not saying there's no value in that. I'm just saying the primary focus that we're interested in is to the message of Jesus Christ, which changes the heart, which changes everything. And if you don't get the internals right, then you can waste a lot of time on the externals and you'll miss it. We all know that if as parents, we can really control our kids for a couple of years. I can make them really, really be good, right? Because they know that I'll beat them if they don't when they're little. I give them the look. I give them the evil eye. They straighten up, all this kind of stuff. But then they become teenagers. And if the internals aren't correct, then you find out what's really on the inside. Because it starts coming out. So the kingdom of God is this inner work, and Jesus tells us, the very last thing that he tells us as the church, he tells his disciples and he tells you and me, everyone that knows Jesus Christ, we are part of this command that he gives us, and we know the command. We quote it all the time. It's called the Great Commission, but oftentimes it's the thing that we forget, the great omission. He says, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them to do everything that I have commanded you. So you and I, our commission, our command, our direction, it doesn't matter whether you've been in the church for one day or you've been in the church for 70 years. It doesn't matter whether you have a lot of money or you have a little bit of money. It doesn't matter what kind of personality you have. It doesn't matter how much education you have. It doesn't matter. It's a universal command that all of us are engaged. We're directed. This is part of the thing that we carry all the time, to be engaged in the need of the world, to take to the world the message of the hope of Jesus Christ. So let me just give you three things, and I've talked too quickly, so let's just give them to you too slowly, whatever I talked. Three ways that we contend for the kingdom of God. Write them down. Number one, every believer is a soldier who must contend for the kingdom. Every believer, that's you. If you know Jesus Christ, you're a soldier. You're a soldier. That you have, and you have to fight for the kingdom of God. Your job is to be engaged in the warfare. Your job is not just to lay down and go to sleep. And if somebody's asleep, just give them the elbow right now. Just wake them up and let them know. You're a soldier. Tell your neighbor, you're a soldier. You're a soldier. Listen, get in the battle. Don't get out of the battle. Don't think it's somebody else's job. Don't think it's TJ and Katrina's job. Don't think it's just Pastor Chad's job to carry missions. Don't think it's somebody else's job who loves to talk and so they're great at evangelism. No, it's all of our job to fight for our faith. Jude 3 says, "Dearly loved friend, I was fully intending to write you about our amazing salvation that we all participate in, but I felt the need instead to challenge you to vigorously defend and contend for the beliefs that we cherish. Now remember, we're not fighting people, we're fighting for people. We're fighting against an enemy for the lives and the souls of people. And we're pressing constantly against the gates of hell. Jesus said, the gates of hell are not gonna, they're not gonna prevail against you. Well, what that means is that the gates of hell are pressing. They're gonna come right up against the church. And they're going to cause pressure on the church. They're going to cause pressure in your life and my life. The gates of hell are going to try to, and Jesus says they're not going to prevail. But the question is, well, are we backing up? Or are we standing our ground and maybe even stepping forward? Right? Are we saying, no, you know what? Yeah, you're not going to prevail, but we're actually going to prevail over you. Not just that we're going to resist you, but that we are engaged with what Jesus said, we're going to fight. We're going to be engaged. We're going to be invested in the thing that we have been called to do. So how do we engage in battle? Well, there's so many different ways, right? It starts with how you live. How you live shows the kingdom that you are engaged in. How you pray, whether you pray. Who we tell about our faith. How we give, how we invest our money, how we use our resources. We're good at spending money. Secondly, I know I talked about money, made everybody nervous. Every believer, secondly, write this down. Every believer must invite the Lord to take dominion. We've already talked about this. Jesus says, this is how you pray. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. Our job is to really to invite in the sphere of influence that we have. Every one of us has a sphere of influence. It begins with you. My first sphere of influence is over Andrew. Right? I get to decide my thoughts, my actions. I get to decide who I'm inviting into my life. I get to decide what I'm watching, what I'm pouring into myself. This is the first sphere of influence that I got to say, God, I need your kingdom to come right into this place. And I need to align myself with your kingdom. And then I can invite myself then, or I can invite his kingdom to come into my family. Lord, I'm over this family. I invite you over my home, my place of work, every place that I step foot. This is part of my areas of influence. You all have areas of influence. What do? We're inviting God. Lord, would you bring your kingdom to bear? Would you speak to me about every area that is out of alignment with your will and with your kingdom and with your way? And as we do that, we'll find that the Lord begins to speak to us. Oh, well, we need to adjust this. We need to adjust that. We need to do this. We need to do that. Number three, every believer must align their sphere of influence to allow for the kingdom flow, which we've already talked about, that we are actually aligning ourselves with the principles of the kingdom, because if you want to see the kingdom come, then you had better get underneath kingdom authority, and you better use kingdom currency, and you better walk in the kingdom way. So Jesus says, this is the currency of the kingdom, is faith, and he invites us into this relationship with him that is dictated by love. John 13, he says, a new command I give to you. Everybody knows it. Say it. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. But by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So this is the question that I have for you. And this is the question that we just kind of come to a conclusion with as we're talking about missions and our responsibility for the world. And it's simply this. What does love require? We should ask this question a lot. What does love require in terms of my relationship with my spouse? What does love require in terms of the way that I'm treating other people? What does love require in terms of my children, how I'm relating with them? What does love require in regards to my finances? Because when we're talking about love, what we're talking about is not just a nice feeling. What we're talking about is a responsibility that we have to actually care and love the world, that we're engaged in this thing that God has called us into. This is what Leo Tolstoy said, the guy who wrote, didn't he write War and Peace? Is that right? The only significance of life, he said, consists in helping to establish the kingdom of God. This card right here, hopefully that you've been, it's now all sweaty and messed up, that you've been holding, represents just a little tiny physical symbol of one way that we are invited and inviting you into as a church into establishing the kingdom of God. Now, there's so many ways that we need to be invested. right? There, we can share our faith and we can serve and we can give and we can go. But this is a giving thing. And we should not think that we're excused of one way of being participating in the kingdom of God just because we do that. The reality is that it's talking about aligning all of our life. And so we have to talk about finances. Now, this is not a pressure thing. If you're visiting today, you don't have to give. If you don't want to give, you don't have to give. This is not like I'm trying to ramp you up in terms of a pressure thing. This is simply just what I believe as a pastor that we're called to do, that this church is called to be an influence in the world, to build the kingdom of God and to extend the borders, to actually push against the dark powers of darkness, to move into places that haven't heard the gospel, to build the church in nations that need people who are trained in how to read and teach the word of God. There's so much that we can do with our physical resources, with our financial little bit. It's incredible what happens when we send our resources out into the world. In India, every single month we send money and it digs wells and it feeds orphans and it feeds widows and it raises up a new generation of leaders. It feeds kids in Mexico and there are so many things that happen. TJ and Katrina in Taiwan, as they begin to reach out to a people group that is often ignored and forgotten, right? These little resources that we put, these couple of dollars that we send, they actually mean we're pushing the gates of hell. We're establishing the kingdom of God. And so this is a way that we can do that. So we just want to invite you into this. Now, what this means, and my wife and I do this every time this comes around, we make a commitment because we want to say that our life is not just about something that we say, it's actually in something that we do. And so we're willing to stretch ourselves and to commit ourselves to give. And so this pledge card represents an invitation to you. We're going to receive them in just a moment. We're going to have the worship team play this song as you consider and pray. And I want this to be a God thing. I believe God's calling all of us and inviting all of us. But it's between you and Him. This card, it's amazing what happens when you give in a regular way. I would just say there's three ways that you can think about giving when it comes to this card. You can think about giving regularly. It's incredible what happens when you give consistently. You know, $5 a month, $10 a month, $25 a month. I think the card up there said $5,000 a month. If you want to give that, praise God. That builds up to quite a bit after an amount of time. Consistent giving is amazing. Consistent giving does something. It builds something over the long term. And so I would challenge you, if you've never consistently gave, it's nice to give something every once in a while, but if you've never consistently gave, it's a way that you build a discipline. It's a way that you build something that is significant in your life. The second way you can think about giving is in stretching yourself in giving. It's called faith giving. It's giving beyond maybe what you're comfortable with. I would say that one of the ways that we tend to think about commitments like this is oftentimes we look at our checkbook or we think about our budget or we think about what's in our account. Nobody has a checkbook anymore, right? There's whatever's on your phone. It tells you those numbers that you have in your account. We think about giving what's left over. We think about giving, you know, what's there. And a faith commitment says, you know what, I'm committed to this, and I'm actually going to work with the Lord on this and ask Him, because perhaps He wants to do more than just take what I have left over. Perhaps He wants to do more in me and through me. And so I'm going to actually be willing to get a little bit uncomfortable. I'm going to sacrifice maybe something in order to make that commitment. Of course, it's a commitment. It's not just like a wish. We're actually, by saying this, you're saying, you know, I'm going to actually press into this. And the third way you can think about giving in a commitment like this is that it would be a growing commitment. One of the things I know, I put it down. One of the things I know is that Paul says we are to grow in the grace of giving. And so I would just say, maybe you're a regular giver, maybe you're a regular pledge, a person that's committed to missions. When's the last time you upped it a little bit? When's the last time you stretched yourself a little bit? One of the challenges my wife and I have over the years is that we've continued to tick up the amount of our giving just to stretch. Sometimes it gets a little uncomfortable. But what we've found is that there's more grace, that God can do more. That we see His blessing in an increased way that we'd never see unless we were willing to stretch ourselves just a little bit. So if you take that card out, they're going to lead us in a song briefly and allow you just to say, you know, to the Lord, what would you have me give? Okay, and then we're going to come and receive those commitments and the offering in just a moment. And again, no pressure. Would you bow your head with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have been invited into your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that your kingdom is unseen. Thank you that your kingdom is coming, that your kingdom is here. Thank you that heaven is open. But Lord, we want to be a part. We want to take seriously what you directed us to do, which is to be invested in going, invested in pushing the boundaries of the kingdom of God. So Lord, I just pray that you would just speak to us. How would you have us be committed in this season? In Jesus' name.
We need a faith.
pass the buckets here. If you're ready to give, then wonderful. If you need time to take this home and pray about it this week, that's great. This is between you and the Lord. So if you're ready to give, and everything in this offering that's not otherwise marked, we're going to give to missions, and it's going to make sure that it goes right there. And so just begin to pass those right now and receive. And if you're ready, wonderful, and you can give. I just want to say thank you for that. And as they're doing that, I want to invite the prayer teams to come forward. I believe as we give, that God's going to do more than what we ever would imagine. As we give in faith and as we give believing that he's committed to us, believing that we're responding to his call, he's going to do more in your life. He's going to do more in your finances. He's going to do more in your family. Why? Because he responds to us when we're obedient to him. And so this is a thing where we're believing that God is going to, he's going to respond. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Koinonia, for being such a faithful church, such a giving church. We're never concerned about, especially about missions, because you understand what God's heart is about missions. Would you stand to your feet? I think we're kind of all the way through. And I know we're over time. What I want to do is we're just going to dismiss. But if you want to just sort of soak in God's presence, there's a wonderful sense of his spirit in the house this morning. Maybe you need a touch of healing. You need somebody to pray for you. Maybe you just want to reach out to him. You're standing for something. I just want to invite you to come right up here. We're going to create this atmosphere, continue this atmosphere of worship. And if you got kids, go get them and say thank you to the workers there, the volunteers. Say, Andrew's repenting right now for keeping you over time. But we're going to dismiss. God bless you. Lord Jesus, I just pray a blessing over every single person that's in the house. Lord, that as they go out this morning, that they would carry something different with them, a new and fresh touch of your anointing, a new and fresh power and sense of your presence. Lord, that you would really propel them into a new place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.